to win on hearts, Lord, and yet humility, Lord, is burning down inside us, Lord, that you would allow us to be in your presence this morning. It is greater than any experience, Lord, that we've ever had anywhere else, Lord, to be able to come and sit at thy feet and know that you're speaking to us, dealing with our hearts, and imparting to us the truths, Lord, of your word that will sustain us. We just want to open up our hearts this morning to you, Lord, and ask that you would come and do these things once again, Lord. You're a faithful and true witness, and you promised to be where two or three are gathered. So, Lord, we accept that this morning. We accept that you have provisions for your people. And, Lord, each one of us, we take our post of duty now, and we just stand. Believe, God, that you will come and speak. You'll make us, Lord, just to be alive. We will live and not die, but we will live in your presence, Lord. We'll drink at your fountain. We will come, Lord, and be partakers of the peace and the joy that you have for us. And though it's a spoken against message, Lord, we embrace it. Choose to believe it, Lord, as it has been sent, that it is our great bridegroom. So, Lord, we do embrace you this morning. We hold you close to our hearts, Lord. We want to be about your business. We want to be thinking, Lord, upon your purpose, what you would desire to be done in our daily life. Those are the things that we will put our attention to, Lord. So we ask this morning, God, that you would show us just a little bit more about how to surrender to you and say no to this world. But, Lord, may you enlighten us and show us this great hour that we're in. May we recognize this day and our message, Lord. We love you. Commit this time into your hands and ask these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're just happy to be in the house of the Lord with you. The musicians, go ahead and be seated. And I said last week, here we are again. Praise the Lord. We made it another week. Amen. Lots of things going on in the world, and lots of things going on in our nation, and lots of things going on in our daily lives. The spiritual warfare is tremendous right now. But as I've said many times, I know the devil is, he's probably really shaking in his boots, and he's putting up all the fight he can, but we're glad that the Lord is our great conqueror. Right?
Amen.
And he's never lost a battle, and he won't lose any ever, never will. And so welcome to the house of the Lord. And we want to believe it that way, right? It is the house of the Lord. We sanctify it that way. If there's anything that's evil that would try to come in here, we just ask that the Lord, that he would drive those things out and make this place be a holy place and be maintained as a holy place. And we will accept it that way. We sanctify it in our minds, especially in this time in our minds. And when we make someone a guest of honor, that makes them a guest of honor. They're not a guest of honor any other way, right?
Yeah.
It's when you make him. So we make him a guest of honor here this morning. And that means that we want him to be comfortable. We want him to be able to come and move up and down the aisles without any resistance whatsoever. If he wants to come and sit upon my heart or upon your heart and relax himself this morning, how many want to let him do that?
Yes.
And let him come and just absolutely light upon our experience and find, because the scriptures talk about it. He said, where is the place of my rest, right? What house will you build me? Where is the place of my rest? It wasn't Solomon's temple, right? But the place of God rest is in a believing heart, right? And so that's what we want to do, is we want to give him a place to rest this morning as he comes, and we will be brought to good things when he does. And so we'll go ahead and open our Bibles to St. John chapter 16. I hope that I gave you the right numbers on this. We have a lot of things going on, and sometimes you write down scripture and you write down the wrong numbers, you know. I gave her the wrong number while I go on one of them, and she came back, and it just happened to be that there wasn't any such chapter of that number, and so I had to look it up. And but if it had to been, there had been chapters, she'd have went ahead and put it on there, and then when it come time to pull it up to the screen, it wouldn't have been right. So, but listen, I'm human, right? And I'll tell you what, it's, you know, well, the Lord will just someday let you know it's really a stretch for the human flesh to go from one zone to another to have the responsibility and want to surrender the best you can, and it really becomes a strain on your mind sometimes. Brother Matt talked about that. So, St. John chapter 16, and we'll just read it here. It says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. That's Jesus talking to them while he was still with them. He said, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Watch this. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Amen. Now let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is Paul speaking to Timothy, and I know it's a charge to Timothy, but I also believe it's a charge to every minister, and I believe it's also a charge to the believers themselves. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I must just kind of wait there and let you think about that. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in some things. Is that what it says? But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Is that it? That's the last one. Okay, so we'll leave it there. Let's just pray one more time. Heavenly Father, we just want to just give you this time, Lord, these things that we're speaking of this morning as things that you put on our heart. Lord, I believe it comes straight from you, and I just want to get myself out of the way, Lord, and let you speak what you want spoken. And I know, Lord, it's been such a fight. The enemy has just, it's been a terrible week as far as how much the enemy has fought. But, Lord, it's glorious. We're here. We're in your presence now, and we know that all things will work, Lord, to the good of those that are called, those that are predestinated, Lord. So we commit this time in your hands and ask for a special blessing upon each one that's here, Lord, young and old and all in between. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. We thank the Lord for his goodness to us. So this morning we're talking on Prove All Things, Part 3. And I'll subtitle it this morning, The Spirit of Truth. And I've made it very clear that I feel like the Lord has brought me to this series to talk to you about and to minister the Word of God on this particular line of thinking. And I believe will be a blessing to you. And I told you in the first part one of Prove All Things that I take my responsibility serious, and I all week long the Lord just constantly, I'm just, you know, he's dealing with me, and I'm constantly wondering, you know, Lord, what will you have me actually bring this next time when we meet in service and that sort of thing, and so I take it serious because I have a responsibility. You know that if I preach to you wrong doctrine, or I allow wrong doctrine to be preached here, I'll have to answer for that. Yeah. How many else would like to do that? And so, don't ask me to be in a position, but not allow me to have the authority to deal with things if things would be coming along that needs to be dealt with. Give me the ability to do that. So I say that to say this, that I want you to be here, and if you're not here, I want you to go to the web and get the services. Because in high school or in school, when you missed, you were expected to make up. And I'm not saying that because I'm not somebody that wants to be in control. You can ask the guys that work for me. I'm not a control freak. They probably would like for me to be more involved in things sometimes because, you know, it might be better, but I'm not a control freak, and I don't want to be a control freak here, but I have a responsibility. And so I say that because I believe it comes from God, and I want you to get it, and I'm going to have to say things today that really, you would need to be here last week. To really get the full understanding of what's here today, you would have to have last week's, and last week you'd have to have the first service that we had. And so I'm not getting on to anybody, I'm just telling you, I'm pouring out my heart to you. My concern is that if it comes from God, and any minister that is honest, that he is speaking something he believes it comes from God, he wants people to be able to hear it. And he wants them to receive the fullness of whatever that is. And so, if you've been out, please go and listen to those things. Brother Daniel was telling me this morning, he was here last week, but he went and listened to the service again. And so do that. If there's something that maybe you didn't get completely in there, you can go back and listen to it again. And so there's no reason why we shouldn't. Your local body that you belong to, there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to stay in tune with what's being ministered there. Because I believe you'll see that it'll give you great strength. Or else God's not even doing anything, right? If God's working in this assembly, then you'll be blessed by getting in on what God is doing. And so, not what Brother Tony's doing, not what Brother Daniel's doing, or anybody else, but what God's doing. Amen. If God's doing it, you'll be blessed. And so, this is part three of Prove All Things, and today we're going to call this The Spirit of Truth. Last week, subtitle was To Try Every Spirit. And that we need to try the spirits. And all of this I'm covering so far is laying a foundation for what we really want to get into on these things. And so, you pray for me that the Lord will allow me just to have the liberty in Him, because we know where the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so I will start out by saying this morning, why do we believe the things that we believe? You don't have to answer that. That's just something as a springboard. Why do we believe the things we believe? Why do we stand where we stand? We all have a position we stand in right now. And when I say a position, we stand in a position in relation to the rest of the world. We stand in a certain position in relation to the Catholic Church, the Baptist, the Methodist, the world, the sinners, the governments. We have a position that we stand in. Why do we stand in this position? And well, I hope that we can say it's because it's a position the Word of God has placed us. And so, furthermore, I'll tell you that if it's not in a position where the Word of God has placed you, then it's not going to stand. And so, we live in an hour where it's becoming very, very clear, more and more clear to me. It's always, you know, been declared this way, but it's become such a reality to me that if we have anything in our experience in us that's not based upon the Word, it's going to be taken away. It's going to be shaken, and it's the flood has come, and the flood is coming now, and it'll actually take those things away. How many remembers in the Scriptures where it said that Jesus said if a man hears these words and he you know, puts them into action in his life, it's like a man that builds his house on rock. And the floods will come, the rain will descend, the floods will come, and it'll beat upon that house. This house that's built on a rock will be beat upon.
Yeah.
Tribulations will come. But said it wouldn't hurt the house. Because the house was built on that foundation. And so and he said, but if you don't do these things, it'll be like the man builds his house on sand. And anybody knows if you build your house on sand and a flood comes, it's over with. And it don't take but just a moment. It'll be over with. And so I believe we've arrived at a time where there's a tremendous flood that is coming through the land. And anything about our experience that's not built upon the Word of God is going to be washed away. And so I think that, you know, God pushes the buttons of the issues. Things that you and I might ignore, and we might ignore them for years, and something laying in our experience that isn't right with the Word yet. And we'll rock along, maybe doing part of the Word, but maybe there's, or maybe even most of the Word, but maybe there's just a little something there that's a problem, like we mentioned the other day about the rich young ruler. Well, he'd done all kinds of stuff, but he had one thing wrong, and that's the thing that God had to put his hands on, because that would have been the issue that would have kept him out of heaven. So when you come here, if you're rich young rulers, and you are rich, and you are young, right? You're healthy, you're vibrant in the Lord. But see, when you come here, If you're coming before the presence of the Word, if you have something there that's not exactly right, something that will be an issue on rapture morning, then you can't expect the Word to do anything except to spin and put the finger of God on that. Yeah. And that's what happens. So I believe we've come to that time where the Lord has said, you know, I'm pushing the issue here. You've let something lay there for all these years, and in this message, there's been things laying there all these years that nobody wanted to deal with, and they've always swept them under the rug and all that, but God has said, not anymore. You're going to have to deal with this because you're just a few moments away from rapture, and I've got to push those because I love you and I want to make a difference in your life and get those things off of you so you can be ready at that moment. Yeah. I mean, he understands that. So when he gets to plowing in your field, and he plows in mine all the time, I think if anybody's got the Holy Ghost at all, then he's plowing constantly in your life every day.
Amen.
It's a constant thing. And praise God, thank God for it, because yes, he does do that. We want him to do that. Because look, I don't know what I need, but he sure does.
Right.
Right? And so that's what that's all about. We want to make sure that he has the liberty, and he does. He just plows because he owns me. He owns you. He paid the price for us. And so we have a certain position we stand in reference to all these things, and it's got to be that where we stand is what where God has placed us, not where we've placed ourselves. And so, because it'll be tested. It's going to be beat upon with storms and floods and things like that, and it's going to be tested. And I'll tell you, I said it the other day, and I'll say it again. If there's any idea we have about William Branham, and about who he was and how God worked in him and what his limitations were, if there's any question about that and there's something in there that can't belong in the body of Christ or can't get you in rapture, God will have to put his finger on that. He'll have to show you that, and he'll have to get out of you. If you've got more confidence in the man when you shouldn't have confidence in the man, God will have to get that out of there, because you know what? He can't build upon that. The floods will take that away. Thank God for floods to reveal things to us, right? To reveal what's wrong. And so we want to remember that. And so I trust that where we stand and the things we believe comes from the Word. And I believe, and I want to do that in this series, and I'm not talking about disproving everything in the world, because we'd be here for years to do that. But there are certain things that I feel like the Lord is telling me is very important to us in this hour, that I want to take us back, and I'm going to show us that these things that we preach and things that we've heard and things, these positions where these stands that we're taking in reference to everything else, that these things truly do come from the Word. Yeah. And they come from the Word, and we're going to see they're coming from words from standpoints that maybe we've not ever seen before. But I believe in coming and doing this and bringing these things out. I know what it's doing to me in my walk, and I believe that it'll help you, because faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word. And so if we painted the picture of Christ up here, and, maybe it's a pencil drawing or something like that, say, oh, that's Christ, you know. But there's a limit to the depth that you can see there in that. And then when you start adding colors and depths and things like that, the more you paint of that picture, the more of a reality of this person you're portraying is. And that's what the revelation of the Word for this hour comes. That's why we preach the Word, and the Word is to be preached, because the more that we can get you to see, the more of the revelation of the Holy Ghost in your life will reveal to you the Word that's being preached to you. You'll see more detail of Jesus Christ. You'll understand Him more, and consequently, because you understand Him, the positive, you'll also understand the negative a lot more. And that's what this is all about, to understand that more. And so we want to be standing where the Word is, because 2 Timothy 4 is here. For the time shall come when they will not endure sound doctrine. How many knows that the Bible says that all Scripture, it was given by inspiration, and it's good for reproof, it's good for doctrine. And I've never looked up the word doctrine, what it means, but I'll tell you what it means to me, just so you can have my frame of thought on it, is that if a medical doctor pulls in the driveway and he comes in the house and he goes into the bedroom where somebody in the family is sick, and somebody says, what's he doing here? Well, he's doctoring so-and-so who's in that bedroom that's sick. He's doctoring him. Yeah. So all Scripture is good for doctoring. Okay?
In other words, it's good to administer to a situation where a need is, a sickness is. All Scripture is good to apply to that what? To get that person well again.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Well, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
Right.
The time will come, and listen, we can say, well, so many people say, well, Brother Branham said this, and Brother Branham said that, we can't believe that. I'm telling you what the Bible said. Somebody said, well, you know, it's just Brother Branham that said there were seven, you know, who these seven messengers were. My Bible tells me Paul was the first one.
Yeah.
They don't even know what they're talking about. My Bible tells me Paul, and Paul is telling us here, the time will come, he's telling Timothy this, they will not endure sound doctrine. Right? They won't endure sound doctrine. Let's see what it says here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So they won't endure sound doctrine. The time will come when that will happen. But after their own lust. After their own lust. You know what the scripture says when we're led away? But that we're tempted? After our own lust. And I'm saying this because we're dealing with spirit things. Last week, try the spirits. This week, the spirit of truth. Because this is a spiritual warfare. We are not fighting against flesh and blood. But we are fighting. And it's the spirits, and we've got to try the spirits, and we've got to know the truth, the spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, and we've got to know the spirit of error. And so we've got to see these things and know these things. And so these people, you have a little something laying in your experience there. And as I said last week, spirits are not commissioned to set off over in the corner with their arms folded like that. Spirits have to manifest.
That's right.
They are not happy if they're not manifested. They are not happy if they don't have a body. Why? The scripture said they walk through dry places. The scripture tells us that even God has a rest when he's in you.
Yeah.
But them spirits just seeketh rest and they don't find it because they're walking in dry places. So they come back, they find rest. So a spirit has rest in your life when you yield to him and you begin to act out what he is.
Yeah.
Right? So you can have a little spirit laying there, and you might cope with it for years and years and years, but God knows it's there, and there's time coming where he says, you know what? You can't go in rapture with that, and I've got to reveal that to you.
Yeah.
And furthermore, that little something will lay there. As I said, you might go with it for years and years, but he's commissioned that spirit, if it's contrary to the word, or if it is the word, the Holy Spirit, he'll come out. He is ordained of God to not sit there, but to push out until you flesh him out and you begin to manifest him in this dimension.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's what it is. So these people, because of their own lust, there's something laying down in there that they entertain, that they like, that they've not kicked out, or certain something the scripture might say because of their own lust. And because of that lust, that'll move into a direction till eventually they get to the place where that lust in there causes them to heap to themselves these teachers, preachers, ministers who will tell them what they want to hear. And what they're wanting to hear is not sound doctrine. Right? So they will heap to themselves these teachers having itching. But the issue here is because they had something laying there that the scripture said after their own lust. They had a spirit laying there that was contrary to the word. And so that spirit will grow and get stronger and begin to manifest itself in the lives of people. And next thing you know, they'll begin to go forth and accommodate physically fortification for what that spirit was. They'll begin to make excuses for it. And next thing you know, that thing that was just a deed becomes an actual doctrine.
That's right.
Right? Why? Because it was allowed to sit there.
Right.
It's because it was allowed to sit there and grow and multiply. And we talked about it the other day. Maybe we might read the definitions of spirits again. And so let me get it brought up so I'll have it here. You forgive me? I had it a while ago and then something happened and it come off screen, but we'll read the definition of spirit. And remember, spirits, they represent something. They represent, you know, who they are, where they come from, where they're going. And I want you to remember that. Who they are, where they come from, and where they're going. And so we've arrived at this time where people won't endure sound doctrine, and these things is manifesting themselves, where there's a tremendous amount of teachings and things like that that goes, you know, to satisfy the people for what they want. And it's all because they have a spirit upon them or whatever. And then we see here that he goes on and says that they'll be turned away from the truth and then we turn to fables. So, as I said, you know, this in previous services, the devil's job, these evil spirits, their job is to ruin your experience. They'll never come to you and tell you what their intent is. Yeah. They try to trick you and deceive you into believing this and that until they get you, and then they won't tell you. Now, and this is important. I want you to remember this through this series. Because the time these spirits will come upon people, and you know what? You will think that spirit your best friend. Yeah. I want you to remember this, because this will have to come out later. It'll make a whole lot of sense to you later. They'll be your best friend in deception. And you'll think, it's my best friend, my best buddy. And I'm not talking about people, I'm talking about spirits. A spirit that motivates you, makes you feel good. I mentioned the other day that they seduce, they have a seducing effect. And they have some way of releasing those things in you to make you feel peaceful and comfortable and mesmerized and all the things that go with it when there's an anointing of like that comes. They have ways of doing that, and you'll think they're your best friend because they make you feel right and good and that sort of thing. But the time will come, if that spirit ain't from God, the time will come where once he's got you in his hold and you can't do nothing about it, then he will reveal himself totally to you and he will become your tormentor. He will become your tormentor at that point, and you'll look at him and think that one who was your best friend, that's going to be one of the most tormentous things about it, is to look and say, that which I thought was right, that was guiding me right and made me feel right, now it's revealed to me that it's not my friend, that it was actually an enemy, and I am done in because of he lied and cheated me. My best friend did that to me. Right? That's what happens. Those spirits will do that. And so that whole concept will come out in another service a little bit later, unless the Lord just causes me to get into it more this morning. That's what will happen. And so it'll turn them into fables and that sort of thing. So we must prove all things about our experience. God's going to make sure that it's proved. Best thing to test something, to see if something works, is just test it. That's what we do. Where I work, we test things. Will it work? The engineers design it. They say it's good enough. Well, we're going to see. That's what it's all about. Put it to the test. And so God will do the same thing. He'll put it to the test to see if it's right. Because he's not going to put something over on that other side over there that don't cut the mustard. See, he's going to do it here. And those things have got to be tested. So we want to make sure that our experience is pure. Because small seeds grow up to be big crops, right? We want to make sure that when he tests us here, that our experience is right. Because little small things in us actually grows up to be big crops. Little small seeds will be big crops. Someone can sit in church and have something that they don't like. Something that, you know, a little something in them that just doesn't like being in. And I don't know, I'll just use this as an example. But it's like this church. It's set in this church. And there's just something about it. Well, they'll sit here until eventually they can find something that justifies the fact they don't want to be here. They'll have something, and if they're not in their heart wanting to be here, wholeheartedly sold in, sold out to what this church is all about, and they're not in it, part of this family, but they're sitting here because maybe they have some sort of constraint that tells them they need to. But in their heart, they're sitting here, but inside, they don't really want to be here. Well, they won't rise up and tell you, I don't want to be here. But they'll wait and watch and move until eventually something will rise up that they can rise up and say, look at that, aha, That's the reason why I'm not coming back anymore. And they'll go. Right? Everybody? But now I'm just telling you, this is the way spirits work. Spirits are not going to come and tell you up front who they are. Unless it's the Holy Spirit. Right. Because He's honest. They won't. They're out for your demise. And that's what they're going to do. And they're going to trick you. It's just right there in that. Them four horse riders. First horse rider, why? Deception. And he deceived that early church to get as many people to buy into his false doctrine. And when he finally got all those in that he could, and there was still a bunch standing that wouldn't fall for his deception, he said, okay, if I can't deceive you into it, I'll change my white horse, I'll get on the red horse, and I'll kill you and force you at the edge of the sword to believe and come into my system. That's what he does. And so, when he gets you down all underneath his hand, like that third horse rider, he's got you all right there. We can charge you the bread of life and holds you right there in his doctrine, and you just barely can survive. And he's got you in a position that the only thing you're doing is serving his purpose, satisfying him. And he'll come around and use you as a slave to satisfy his needs and then leave you sitting the rest of the time. Come back around sometime later to satisfy his needs and leave you sitting right there. How many knows the Spirit do that? That's exactly what happens. But you know what? You've been commissioned. You've been commissioned by the Holy Ghost that he can't do that to you.
Amen.
But you've got to keep him from it. You've got to stand up and resist him and say, you're not doing that to me.
That's right.
My God told me I have power and authority over you. I have authority and that's what you do. And so, we want to prove all things and make sure that we don't have small things in there growing up to be big things. That's not word. And we don't want to be found with something in there because it will manifest itself. And so, in the midst of all this flood that's going on, all these things that are happening in this world today, testing our experiences in all this and that that's going on, accusations and what more, they did it to the Bible, they do it to anybody that ever walks according to the truth. The Bible says that all the ungodly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Did you know that? If you're not suffering persecution, you ain't walking godly. That's right. Says the Word. See? But if you walk according to godliness, you're going to have persecution. So listen, something's got to be coming against you. Why? That flood is testing you. Testing to see whether or not you're on the Word or not. And so, in the midst of all this stuff going on, and this is being said, and that's being said, and we're being tested, and we constantly, where are we at? We believe we're the bride, and we're in this position to all the rest of the world. And all of all that's going on, there's the Spirit of truth present to lead us and guide us in God's truth. We're not sitting out here in this flood or in this battle to ourselves, left to fend for ourselves, not knowing where to go and what to do. That's not God's program. We're out in this battle. This flood is here, but the Spirit of truth is here also.
Amen.
And it's here to lead us and guide us to all truth.
That's right.
Now, I realized back in Luther's day, it wasn't time for all truth. But all the truth that was to be divvied out in his day, the Holy Spirit would bring the people to all truth in that day. Now we're living in the age after the seventh age, right? We're in the seventh time. And it's time for all truth, time for the mystery of God to be finished. And so he will bring us to all truth. That means we should understand very clearly what we need to know about Jesus Christ, about the Word, about doctrine, and about the Antichrist and what he's doing. All those things, he will lead us and guide us to all truth. And I realize that's a big statement. But you know what? I can say that because I'm not the one leading you to it. I see his promise.
Right.
He said he would lead us to all truth. So I have confidence in that. He will lead us and guide us into all truth. And so, in other words, what it said there, and I read that scripture, if you want to bring that back up, Sister Anna, in John chapter 13, or verse chapter 16, verse 13. I want to show this to you. When the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, we know that God is not three gods. We know that he comes in the form of the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit is the agent of God in spirit form to come and live in you. Right? Everybody agree with that? But I want to, and we know the scripture says the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, all the same, right? But I want you to look at this. For he shall not speak of himself. Now, if God comes in the form of the Holy Spirit, does he need to hear something from God? When he is God. So there's a hidden meaning here. There's a hidden understanding here. That in God's economy, where there would come a day where he would send a spirit, the Spirit of Truth upon this earth, it'll be the form of the Holy Spirit, right? Because that's God's not three. But you'll find out there that he will come in the form where he has to hear truth and then turn around and speak it. He'll hear from God and turn around and give it to the people. Now the Holy Spirit don't have to do that. You know what I'm saying? Because he is that Spirit of Truth, right? The Spirit of Truth. And Jesus said, the Word is truth. So the Word of God is truth. So if the Spirit of the Word, which is truth, is here, he don't have to go get truth because he is truth.
Right.
But if God has vessels or a person or a ministry on the earth that he would send to the earth to be that Spirit of Truth in the land, to bring that Spirit of Truth in the land, and actually identifies it that way, that person, that man, that movement would have to hear from God and then turn around and give it to the people.
Yeah.
Right? We're not talking about... So you see there, in the midst of all this chaos, there's a Spirit of Truth in the land. And I am telling you that you'll find that working in the ministry of William Branham. I'll tell you, you'll find it working in the ministry right here in this church and other Methodist churches. I'm not talking about the individuals themselves. I'm talking about the portion of these individuals' life that God puts his hand on, that he does and says things through to them that delivers tremendous truth in the hour and has a movement of truth throughout the people because of that. That's what I'm talking about. Not the man himself, but the portion of his life that God puts his hand on. Because God didn't, he didn't just absolutely come down and make every one of us deity. He don't do that. But he certainly comes down and manifests deity through us. Right?
Yeah.
You say, I prayed for somebody, prayed the prayer of faith, and God healed them. That was the Holy Spirit moved through and projected that through you. And so, there's a Spirit of Truth here, I believe, to prove all things. No question about it. To prove all things. Now listen, if I'm going to prove something to you, and I'll just use electronics because that's what I went to school for. If I'm going to prove to you the concept of Ohm's Law, I'm not going to go over here to chemistry books and pull up a formula that describes a chemical reaction. I'm not going to go to that book to try and prove to you Ohm's Law in electronics. I'm going to go to the resources concerning Ohm's Law. So if we want to prove all things, we have to go to the resource. And the reason why I'm saying it is that we're not going to prove all things by looking and seeing what the world says and what Joe says down the street or whatever his name was. The kids was laughing once before. I think I always pick out Joe. Is that what it is? I always pick out Joe as an example of somebody who lives down the street. And they were laughing because every time I mention it, I use Joe for that name. But I don't know why I say that. But the point is, we're not going to go out here to the world. We're not going to go see what the talk show guy says. We're not even going to go to the public radio that people listen to. What do they call that? NPR. We're not even going to go to that. We don't go to those things, see, because they're not the authority. We're going to go to the Word of God because God's Word is the authority. And then if He says it, if we can prove it by His Scriptures, brother, sister, we better get on board with it.
Right.
And we better make provisions in our life to accept that in there and make sure that becomes manifest in our life. Because if we're being motivated by a spirit and it don't produce that, the Word, it's not the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. It's not the Holy Spirit. And we want to see ourselves grow. I mean, I'm preaching this to myself.
Yes.
I realize these things that the Lord is dealing with me on. It's I love where He's taking me spiritually. You know, and my flesh is kicking up His heels as much as ever and more than ever. But inside, I love what I see God doing with His Word and the place He's putting us, because I see fewer and fewer things coming to shake us.
Yeah.
I see more sturdiness coming into our experience. And I pray that that's the case that happens for you too. And I believe these things that we're sharing will do that. And so all this is going on, and there's the spirit of truth to lead you and guide you to truth. Now the other day I said, what is a spirit? And I'll kind of read it to you again. This is just a dictionary on my phone, just a standard dictionary. And it says that a spirit is a supernatural, incorporeal being, especially one inhabiting a place. I mean, remember me saying that a spirit can occupy a place. A spirit can occupy a perfume. There's all kinds of things. So a place, objects, etc., or having a particular character like evil spirits would have. And so it's an angel or a demon. It's an attitude or a principle that inspires and animates or pervades thoughts, feelings, or actions. So it travels through thoughts and feelings and actions. Spirits can travel through thoughts, feelings, actions, mentalities, doctrines, teachings, all those things. Spirits can pervade or travel through those things and populate and spread to others through those things. It'll spread, right? So it'll spread, and so that's another part of the definition there. And so the divine influences as an agency working on the human heart. A divine, inspiring, or animating being that influences. And actually gives some scriptures, Numbers 11, 25, and 32, 15. I haven't gone to see what those are, but that's just what they put in there. So a spirit, now it's supernatural beings. It's the Holy Spirit. Did you know that even the angels of God, there are still good angels? The scripture said they're all sent forth to minister for those who be heirs of salvation, right? How many knows that in Hebrews says that? And then demons, those who fell, those are spirits. And all of those spirits are supernatural beings or things over there in another dimension that actually come and they influence your thinking. They cause you to have a thought or a way of doing things. And when that gets into a group of people, a bunch of people, it becomes an ism. Right? Like communism, Nazism, fascism. And I say these because these are terms that were brought forth to us by Vindicated Voice for a reason. And they all wind up in Catholicism, right? Wind up in communism, but then that goes, and it's all Catholicism. Don't worry about Russia, it's Rome. They're isms. And it's spirits that's moving and causing movements of masses of people to do things and cause things and be things. Because remember, a spirit, when it comes and manifests, it's like me. When I went to Finland, and I went down to the breakfast bar there in the hotel, and they had an awesome place to eat there with all kinds of food. It was good food. And I was looking forward to bacon, and I went over there, and I don't know what that stuff was. It looked like bacon, but it wasn't exactly bacon. Well, here's what I'm getting at. I, from the south in the United States of America, went way up north. It's about as far north as Alaska is. And it was never broke 17 while I was there. I went there and I wanted good old southern bacon. And I went to that bar and they had bacon there and I ate it. I ate it just about every day, but it wasn't bacon like I had at home. What was it? If I'd had my way, I'd have went to the cook and said, hey, I want some southern fried bacon like we have back home. What would I be doing? I'd be from another place and I'd be trying to bring my culture from another place and manifest that culture there.
Yeah.
Spirits have a culture.
Yeah.
And when they come, their purpose is to make and bring to pass and manifest their culture here in our lives and in this world. And in other words, to flesh out what they are and where they come from and where they're going, what their purpose is. And when I say where they're going, because they're here to take you somewhere. They're not here just to be your friend. They're here to take you somewhere, which is to take you to your demise. And so that's what these spirits do. They come forth to do that. So spirits can manifest themselves and they attach themselves to music, to songs, to to places, to experiences, to people, to movements, to churches, to governments, to cities. Towns have spirits. Nations have spirits. And all those spirits, they don't get along with each other. That's why. That's why they, you know, spirits can be loosed and let forth upon nations that are neighbors. It's just perfectly there in the economy of God for that to happen. They get along for hundreds of years, it's fine, and all of a sudden some spirits are let loose and anoint the leadership of those two nations, and they go to war. Because why? They're manifesting what those spirits are. And so that's what I want you to remember. Spirits will manifest what they are, where they come from, and where they're headed. So spirits are either word-based, in other words, they're promoting the kingdom of God and the kingdom of righteousness, and they're what they do will help you and benefit you and fortify you in the kingdom of God. These spirits that are word-based will do this, or if they're not word-based, they're anti-word-based somewhere. Because if they're word-based, they'd be over here in the category with the word-based, but they're not word-based. So some are Judas walked among them. He walked for all those years and had all that ministry, cast out devils, and his name was even written on that book, right? And so we find out that his name was blotted out. Well, that he walked among them, but at some point he couldn't go all the way with the word, so he had to manifest something that was anti-word. And so we read the scriptures, and we'll read it again. We read it last week, and we'll read it again. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is how. Because it'll go right back to the word. It's word-based. It'll either be word-based or it's anti-word. And if it's anti-word, it's there to destroy you. Yeah. Now, how many knows, we've talked about this and mentioned it, there's a bottomless pit. The Bible speaks of a bottomless pit. Speaks to us about how the Catholic Church, the Pope and all that, comes from the bottomless pit, the Antichrist system and all that. Bottomless pit. This goes back to what I said a while ago. What does it mean to be a bottomless pit? Does anybody like, how would you like to be like Korah or that bunch was standing there and the grounds opened up and they started falling into it? How would you like to be slipping and falling in? Nobody likes to be falling. No offense against the parachute. The guys in the military do all that parachuting. I work with a guy that jumps in a wingsuit every week. Set the Texas record last week, him and about 10-9 other people for a formation of coming down. They fly in these wingsuits. But, you know, I don't, you know, they can do that if they want, but I don't like the idea of falling. I like it when I've got sturdy ground to stand on. Especially if I'm in treacherous, steep places, right? I like the idea of being able to do that. And so, but the scripture speaking of a bottomless pit. And a bottomless pit is a place that has no foundation because it's bottomless. So in other words, if you go to the pit, you'll never have a sturdy place to stand ever again. Right? And we find out that there's an angel who's king over that bottomless pit. A fallen angel. And our prophet told us who that was. Because when he read that to us, he said, "How art thou fallen, Lucifer?" So we know that was Lucifer, was that fallen angel. And he's the king over that pit. He's the king over that society, that dimension of what they are and what their culture is. He's king over that bottomless pit. Right? That's what the scriptures tell us. And so, in other words, he's a master of anti-wordism. He's a master over these spirits. And he's a master over that dimension. And he's been, at one place, given the key to that bottomless pit to loose it. To loose what's in there. Everybody follow me in scriptures. I hope you've read your Bible. You know the Bible says these things. So he has been, is at a point in time, is given the ability to loose that bottomless pit. And this is a huge portion of this whole series is about this right here. That loosing of those things that are in that bottomless pit. And when they come forth out of that pit, their job is to bring what they are on this earth. and to cause it to be fleshed out, and you find out that they were held there for a long time. In other words, there were things that were loosed at a point in time that before that they weren't allowed to be here on this earth. There were spirits and things that was bound up and held there that would be loosed at that time and be allowed to come out on this earth and begin to do things. And I mentioned last week, so some of you weren't here, but I want you to hear this. Brother Brown was talking about certain names, and he said that name couldn't even be spoken until this day. And if you remember, I mentioned that last week. Did you think Brother Brown meant that the physical makeup of a person's mouth 3,000 years ago couldn't say the word Elvis? He's not talking about it couldn't be physically spoken, but what he's speaking of was that in this hour, there are names that have been spoken. The inspiration for them had not been loosed. Now there's inspiration that is loosed on the earth, and now people can say these, and they're naming their children, and they're putting natures on their children and that sort of thing by these names. He talks about this, and we have to stand back and go, well, I don't know what he's talking about, but I'll tell you what, as soon as the Holy Spirit turns into the Word and we begin to see what he was talking about, we're finding out that man knew more about what he was talking about than we gave him credit for.
Yep.
No, everything he said wasn't exactly right. We know that. But there's truth that will tell that was brought out that if we take them into our experience and our bosom and take it back to the Word, God will establish our feet on the ground and say, you know what? I don't have to question it anymore. There are names spoken right now, natures that have been released on this earth right now that are here. Which brings me to another point. They've been loosed. That scripture we're going to cover, where these spirits and these things were loosed from that bottomless pit, that already happened. That already happened. Started about 1910. We're going to go through that. And so those things are loosed. And Lucifer is the king over that. He's the king of the bottomless pit. And all these things are allowed to come forth and bring forth and begin to manifest on earth what that bottomless pit is. And so, I'm almost done for this morning's service, but I'll say this. In the Garden of Eden, God had set up everything there the way it was, and everything was nice, and here's Adam and Eve, and all of a sudden, you know, God would come down in the cool of the day because he wanted to come and fellowship with them in the cool of the day. And so you'll find out that here they are out there, and the next thing you know, a spirit comes up. Satan. Lucifer. Spirit comes up. He's not ordained to sit in the corner. He's ordained to, he's got to manifest himself. So he has to search somebody out. And that spirit, devil, finds him a serpent. He finds one of the beasts, one of those that are out here, that they've all come by, and Adam's named all of them. And male and female, they all come by, and Adam knew them all. He named them all. He knew their nature, gave them a name that belonged to their nature. How do you believe that? Can you believe that? Okay. And they all come by. Mr. Serpent comes by with Miss Serpent. Adam wasn't attracted to her. Miss Serpent, Mr. Serpent, cows, horses, pigs, they all come by. He names them all. Scripture says, and after all that, there was no helpmeet. In other words, Adam didn't find one and all that would meet that cry in his heart. So then God had to make one, which was Eve. But here they are in this nice environment. God's kingdom, everything the way God had it, see? But you see something else come up. A spirit came up, and that spirit fleshed itself out in a serpent.
Yeah.
That serpent began to walk under that anointing and began to do what that spirit wanted to be done. A spirit hath not flesh and bone, Jesus said. But when spirit anoints a person, now that person becomes a manifestation of that spirit, and that serpent began to move under Satan's anointing, and he began to move and began to talk. And what was he there to do? Was he there to be her best friend? No. Did he walk up and say, I'm here to destroy you? No. Did he follow the pattern I'm telling you? He became there. The scripture said he was the most subtle. In other words, he could walk up to her and she wasn't startled.
Yeah.
He could talk to her, begin to talk to her, she wasn't startled. And he wooed her and talked to her and inched his way over onto anti-word ground. His purpose for being there all along was to be anti-word. But he'd come along slowly but surely, desensitizing. She's not necessarily knowing what's going on, see, because she's not staying with her leadership word, her husband. If he'd have been there, he'd have stopped that. You don't understand what I'm saying. If she'd have stayed with that word, that wouldn't happen. So he's wooing her, talking to her. She's oblivious to the fact he's fixing to ruin her day. And he tricks her, beguiles her. She didn't know it. Right? He beguiled her. Tied it back to the word. Have I got off the word yet on this? And I'm not talking about me, but I'm saying we've got to prove all things. And this is what the scripture's telling us. So he was there. And so everything was good in that garden. In other words, God's economy was all the way God had it. And then all of a sudden now, next thing you know, there's a spirit. And God comes down at the end of the day. And instead of Adam and Eve coming and embracing him, you know, or whatever they would do, they ran and hid. Uh-oh, something's different. And so whenever God called for them, and they said, well, we were naked and we hid ourselves. What did God say? Who told you? Who told you you was naked? Now I'm going to paraphrase so you can understand my thought on this. Who told you you were naked? Because that's not, I didn't establish that in my kingdom. This is not what's in my kingdom. So how did you come across that? Who told you that you were naked? And what was it? Because another spirit had come. An anti-word spirit had come and had fleshed itself out, didn't sit dormant, but fleshed itself out, accomplished what it wanted to do, and now another spirit, another dimension had begun to be manifest, brought death upon this earth. Right? Brought death, sorrow, pain, that wasn't in God's kingdom. Who told you that you were naked? How'd this get here? Because it's not in my word, it's not in my kingdom, but it got here somehow. So he said, who told you that? And so, you understand what I'm saying? Another spirit had come. Well, saints, in our day, who told you there was three gods? Who told you? It's not in my word, it's not in my kingdom. Who told you there was three gods? Who told you that the serpent didn't have a seed? Think about it. Because God's got a kingdom. It's not, if it's not in His Word, not in His kingdom, how does it get here then? So who told you there were three gods and the serpent didn't have a seed? Who told you that hell was eternal? Where did it come from? It ain't in the Word, but where did it come from? Who told you that hell was eternal? Who told you? And I put this one down because somebody on Facebook. Who told you that God don't use prophets in the New Testament? Where'd that come from? Think about it. I'm saying this because people entertain these thoughts and spirits move through thoughts. People don't put their ears on guard. They listen to stuff and spirits come through that. We're in a warfare and we're not fighting like we're in a war. We're piddling around and playing around is what we're talking about. We're in a war. And so these spirits, you know, they come along and say, well, you know, there's no prophets in the New Testament. Really? You know what it is? You know what happens when sheep lead sheep? When blind lead blind? If God didn't need fivefold ministry in His church, why'd He put them there? People need to find a place where they can submit themselves. Go talk to God if you don't believe it. If you don't think God's got a fivefold minister for you to sit under, go talk to Him because He said He does. Right. And these people are out here and they're quoting scriptures and they're preaching to their congregation and there are women among them telling people and using Facebook and preaching their doctrine, getting everybody all stirred up, causing a mass exodus of people from what the beliefs that they had. And remember, that's what these spirits did. They left their habitation. Right? That's what they'll come and cause people to do. Say, well, there is no such thing as prophets in the New Testament because the scripture said that the law and the prophets were until John. And then John, after that, the kingdom of heaven suffered the violence. I know it says that. But you know, whenever, I think it was, I forget which passage it was. There was one of them going to, I think it was Nathaniel or whatever, but they came and they said, come see. We found he who the law and the prophets and the Psalms spoke of. The Messiah. Now, I might not be perfectly quoting that, but he spoke and said, come see Jesus of Nazareth. We found this one that the law and the prophets and the Psalms spoke of and said would come. So if the law is foretelling one to come, and the prophets are foretelling one to come, and the Psalms are speaking prophetically of one to come, they can do all that up until it's time for that one to come. Now they can't foretell it anymore, because prophecy has to be told ahead of time. So when it comes time for Jesus to step on the scene and he had a forerunner, then all that activity of those law and prophets, and it was identified as writings of the law, writings of the prophet, the writings of the Psalms, all of those were foretelling, and when it come time for it to come to pass, those men, those prophecies had to stop right there because now it was the fulfillment of that which was to come. That doesn't say that God wasn't going to use prophets anymore. That just said that those writings of the law and the prophets and those things, they were telling those things, but now it's time for it to come to pass. Then Jesus said, surely Elias shall come. That's future. That's after Jesus, which was after John. John and Jesus, right? And then you find a couple of places there, you find in Acts where it said that there were certain prophets that came down from Jerusalem. One whose name was Agabus. I remember reading that. And he prophesied that there would be a dearth in the land, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Now, see, people say, well, Brother Rev said the New Testament word prophet means preacher. I understand that. But just being a preacher isn't foretelling things necessarily. You see what I'm saying? That's not, just to preach the gospel does not mean you're foretelling future events. This man didn't just preach a good sermon to him. He foretold, thus saith the Lord, there's a dearth coming through the land. And it came to pass, and the scripture said it came to pass right there in one thing there. And that same prophet later on came along and came down and took the girdle, I think it was, of Paul, and said, the man, bound his hands or whatever, he said, the man to whom this belongs to, he's going to go to Jerusalem and they're going to do that to him there. And it was Agabus. He was a prophet. Minor at that. But he was a prophet. These people get on there and say that. Now, I'm going to say it again. Who told you there was no prophets used after the New Testament, in the New Testament? What does that spirit want to do? Does he want to enlighten you? Or does he want to take scriptures and pervert your thinking so that the end of your situation is not good for you? That's what spirits do. That's what evil spirits do. Who told you that there was no such things as prophets in the New Testament? Who told you that you can be born again or have a born again experience just by shaking the hand of some man and putting your name on a church book? And I'm saying that because people believe that. Where'd that come from? Because God's saying it ain't in my economy. So where did it come from? And so, who told you that women can cut their hair? Who said that God allows that? We're going to take it back to the Word. We're going to prove all things. Well, if that's out here and that's being taught and that's being believed, where'd it come from? Because it ain't in God's economy. Where'd it come from? And if it didn't come from the Word, did it come from that other place? And what's it here to do? To make your day better or to ruin it? See? And I won't get to it today, but on that topic right there about women cutting their hair, we're going to find out when that was loosed and what it does and how it affects you sisters or the ones who do it and how it has affected you in the past if you did cut your hair. And I'm going to show you from scriptures That's a devil from hell. And that people have been lied to and tricked to. And the sisters and women through this world, they have no clue what they do to themselves when they snip that first hair, cut the little bits off the ends. Even if it's just trimming it. I'm going to show you in God's economy, but if it's taught different than that, where did it come from? Now I'm saying all this because we better get on board to what God is bringing us. Because He's not sending us stuff just to play around. He's sending us stuff for our benefit, that we might be better. And we better get on board with it. So who told us that women can take their clothes off and go out in public? Even to some degree. Who told us that? Where did it come from? Did you know I can show you in scriptures? You know, there's how many believes that the human body has places that is considered nakedness? Did you know that my hand is not considered nakedness? Neither is my head. My feet would not be considered nakedness. Do you understand what I'm saying? But how many will agree? Is anybody here raise their hand and say, no, every person's body, every part of it is going to be looked upon. It's not considered nakedness. And I'm glad to see no hands went up. There are places on the human body that's nakedness. Well, you know what? When Moses, when God came down on the mountain and they would put a boundary up there and said, don't you cross over that, because if you cross over that boundary right there, you're going to get killed. You're going to be thrust through with a dart because this is holy ground. And so they put up boundaries. You know why they put up boundaries? Because of people. People pinning around, horsing around, not paying attention where they're going, and going to get over on that ground and they're going to get killed because of it. So what you do, you put up boundaries. Your preacher will put up boundaries for you. Right? They put up boundaries for a reason. It isn't because they don't want you to have a full life of joy and peace. It's they want you to have a full life, right? So if you go over there, you don't. You won't have it. And they want you to have those things, and that's why they do that. And so, well, just how close can we get to that place where if there wasn't a boundary there, just how close could we get until all of a sudden flames come down and we're gone because we disobeyed God? How close? Now I want to say there's nakedness on our bodies. So if I take my sleeves and I start going shorter and shorter with my sleeves, how far can I get until I get over on that ground that God said is nakedness? If I start coming up my legs, how far, how short does that dress get? Because we're approaching nakedness, right? Can everybody agree that? We're approaching it, but how close do we get before finally we've erred in God's word and something comes upon us that we wouldn't have? This is not trickery. God said these things for a reason and they're there for a purpose. And I realize probably people have said under ministries in the past, that maybe weren't anointed of God to bring the clarity of it. But saints, we have a spirit to bring us truth. The spirit of truth. What? That we might live and not die. That we might prosper in the kingdom of heaven and not fall away to something else. That's what it's here for. So we can just start approaching. And I will tell you, the scriptures is clear that the thigh, when you're coming up the ledge, the thigh is nakedness. You know that? Even with the priest, when he would go walking up them steps, they had to be careful. His clothing had to be right so that people could not see his nakedness. Well, you're not going to see completely up his garment standing down here, but you could see part of his legs. See? And so they made provisions for those things. I mean, the scriptures tell us that nakedness, your thigh, is your nakedness. So I'm saying, you know, there's a reason why that there's something out there that says that your dress needs to be below your knee. When you sit, kneel, stand, I know we've heard that, but let's take it back to the scriptures. Let's prove all things. Because I'm going to tell you something, sister, just like cutting your hair. The minute that you cross that boundary knowing you shouldn't, You have walked over to the door. Your front yard is full of devils. You've walked right over there, unlocked the door, threw the door open, and turned around and walked away. And I'm going to show you that's the case. That when you do things like that, and it's the same way with brothers, things in your life, I'm not just going to lay it all on the city. It's the same way with anything, but it just so happens that it's real particular about a woman's body, about the woman, because of her being what's exploited to make things the way it has. See, a church exploited, women exploited. That's what the whole fall is. See, so that's very sensitive territory, because a woman's body is a different tabernacle than a man's. It causes a lot of things different than what a man's does. I mean, I think men need to keep their clothes on too. I'm just telling you. Satan's ace in the hole is her, not him, right, when it comes to the body. And so it's all tied up in that part of the revelation of what the bride of Christ is here for and how Satan has come to try and destroy that. But whenever you begin to take and wear clothing, and you know that your leadership has told you that's not right, and we're going to take it back to the Word, so you'll never have to question it ever again. You allow spirits to come upon you when you do that. Brothers and sisters alike, we allow things to come upon us when we know to do something and we don't do it, or we don't, you know, we disobey. You open the door for further things. We talked about it in other terms in the past of like inertia, spiritual inertia. It's easy. You know, and I mentioned it the other day about holding hands. That's not good enough. They want to put their arm around one another. I'm talking about young kids, young teenagers. They're all putting their arm around each other. It's not good enough. They'll want to kiss. Now I know what I'm talking about. And when they're doing that, they're disobeying the Word. And they are, oh, why? Because when you say, well, I know I shouldn't hold his hand, but I'm going to do it anyway, you took hope of a devil. Not him, but you've allowed a devil to come in. Well, he would be if he's trying to convince you to. Or against the Word. But when you've done that, you open the door for the arm around devil. And when you put the arm around, you open the door for the kiss devil. Everybody understand that? And ain't nothing you can do to stop that kiss devil to invading your movements and your actions. You've given the right to do it. And you can't put a stop to it. Why? Because you went out of control in a spiral way back here whenever you took hold of his hand and knew you shouldn't. Yeah. Now I'm telling you, and I don't mind saying this, if it's wrong, let God judge me because of that if it's not right. But I'll tell you, it's the Word. These spiritual concepts are here, and if we'll get these things under our belt, we'll have a lot happier lives. And I know how it works. We'll make mistakes, and these things will happen anyway, but at least you'll have a teaching, and you'll come back, and you'll come back and know, and I trust and hope that none of you do, but I know how things are with some people, and especially our young people. They've got to learn things. And so, who told you that it was okay for a woman to take her clothes off? The Word don't tell you that. So where did it come from? Who told you that it's okay for a woman to wear makeup? Right? God came to the garden and said, who told you? Who told you these things? Wasn't in my economy, so who told you that people could be accepted by God without having a sin-killing experience in their life? Who told you that you don't have to have victory over sin in your life, that you can just go ahead and live that way and be raptured someday? Who told you that? The Word doesn't say that. Who told you that the bride and the foolish virgin and all of them, they're all just one? The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible declares there's a bride. See? Who told us those things? And so there's a difference. Bible tells us, even in the Old Testament, God said that you may know that I put a difference between Israel and Egypt. I mean, he knows God wants to put a difference between you and them. God wants to show himself alive and well in your midst, in contrast to the fact that he's not out there with them people. And so if we don't walk in victory and holiness, do we get the message across? God wants us to walk in victory, and he wants to show himself alive in our midst so that it can be a light to those out there. And he said, I will show that you might know that I put a difference between Israel and Egypt. A dog ain't even going to move his tongue toward the children of Israel. When all this death and chaos is going on in Egypt, at the same time God said, a dog's not even going to move his tongue against you. Right? Didn't he say something like that? So that you can know, Saints, we've got to get back to the place where we realize, you know what? God wants us to be a separated, sanctified people, different than them.
Yes, right.
You know what? We got to be careful what we partake of so that we don't wind up looking like them, or the contrast is not there when we do that. There's got to be a standard to hell with somebody. And judgment starts at the house of God. It has to start here and go out there. See? So we've got to line up with the Word in our own lives if we expect to go out there and make a difference with someone else. And so, who told you that alternate lifestyle people can be accepted of God? Where'd that come from? Think about it. That you can be a lesbian or a homosexual and God will accept you. My Bible tells me He won't. You know why He won't? Because that comes from the spirit that was cast out, that's reserved for chains of darkness that He's going to destroy with a lake of fire. That comes from that spirit, and that spirit has come out in His own people, and God can't accept it because it's a rejected spirit to begin with. Because why? It's not Holy Spirit. He can't accept that because it's anti-word. I was talking to somebody this week, and I said, you know what? Take all the men of the world who want to live that way. Go put them on an island. Give them all the food, all the doctors and everything. Just no women, just all men. Put them out there, and we'll come back 150 years from now and see if there's life. Because there's no life. There's no reproduction in that lifestyle.
That's right.
So it's not of God. You know what? We don't necessarily embrace evolution, do we? We don't embrace that necessarily. But I'll tell you what, that lifestyle is even worse than evolution, because at least in evolution, males and females are getting together and reproducing. So that lifestyle lower than the polywogs or whatever you want to call it, lower than all the other, that spirit, there's no life. When those angels were cast out, no life, they're reserved, there's nothing they can do to get back. Death is on them. They are death. They're from that dimension. He's the king over that. Death and hell. Oh, they're right there. That's what he is. They come forth and get on people, and people begin to live lives typical of that. No life in it whatsoever. But tremendous amount of seduction and pleasure to the flesh and that sort of thing, right? That's what they do. That's what's in that kind of lifestyle. And so I'm not saying that. You know, I'm just saying, you know, people, they can enjoy it, but what level are they enjoying it on, and what is the end of it? And they don't recognize what those spirits are there for. So who told us all these things? God didn't. God didn't tell us that all these things, that there's no, you know, that God is three God. He didn't tell us that. Well, if God didn't tell us those things, if it's not found in His Word, where did it come from? It came from an evil spirit. It came from an evil spirit. And that's what I want to make sure that in this series, we go back and show you where these things come from and what they're out to do. That we can quit playing around and driving as close to the edge of the cliff that we think we can and think we're getting by with it. Well, we might be so deceived that we're actually done fell off the cliff and don't know it. Right? That's exactly the way Satan does it. He will get people so deceived till they think they can tromp right over the Word of God, and they don't even know they're tromping over the Word of God. The Bible said this age was, the feature of this age on this church today was that they were blind, miserable, poor, wretched, and naked. And what was the rest? They don't know it. How? How can they get to that spot? I'll tell you why. Because way, way back there, years and hundreds of years ago, things begin to happen and spirits begin to come up, and they begin to do things, and people weren't alarmed. I said the other day, we need to be alarmed.
Yes.
They begin to do things, and people weren't alarmed, and they moved, and they changed their thinking, and they changed their spirit and their mind about it. And next thing you know, now they're all the way off over here, and they don't even know they're making it. And you know what? I'll go ahead and bring this one in. Brother Ram said in that vision, she was bebopping. That church was dancing to rock and roll. Not the bride. She don't dance to rock and roll. So if she's doing this to a wrong beat, where'd that beat come from? Because she's anointed of devils. That other one, see what I'm saying? She's naked, miserable. She don't know it. She's the church world. She don't know it. And she's dancing to rock and roll music. So rock and roll music ain't Christian. There's no such thing as Christian rock. Right? The words might be Christian, but the spirit behind it is not. Because you know what? God don't have to compromise His holiness standard. God doesn't have to change to become something that has only been with us in these days. I'm going to show you that things were loose that are here now. They weren't here. They were alive and well, and maybe in many, many, many hundreds of ages ago did things, but they were bound up and loosed around 1910 or whatever. And so, I guess you'd call that the 20th century, right? But it was loose there, and these things are going forth now, and they have produced an environment that you and I should be alarmed by, and we're not. But I'm saying that if we now, through the light of the Word, take it back to the Scriptures, we'll find out we've been shaking hands with something we should be blowing away with our scriptural pistols. Right? So she was bouncing the rock and roll music. And rock and roll music don't come from God's kingdom. God had His standard, and He's never changed it. He don't have to change. He doesn't have to change His beat, His words, His appearance. Right? He is truth. He is the standard. And everything else that's not like Him or not offering Him representing that is the fallen side. So He doesn't have to change those things. He doesn't have to come along and say, well, I'll go ahead and allow a different beat in the midst of my people now because, you know, they need it. No. But what you will find is that because of their own lust, and they have a desire for that, they'll sit around in the church. The church will sit around for long enough and sit around for long enough till eventually they found a way that they could start beatboxing and call it Christianity. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Saints, I want to tell you truth more than anything else. I want to tell you the truth of the gospel. And if it's not right, then let me suffer for it. But I think you know what I'm telling you. It goes right back to the Scriptures. And I want to tell you that right in the midst of a campaign where the world, people out there, defectors from the message, anointed with the spirit of Judas, while they're trying to put out a big campaign and its propagation and all the propaganda, I mean, and all this stuff to try and get you discouraged, I'm going to tell you that right in the midst of all that, God will raise up a standard. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard. And what will that standard do? That will cause them people to be refortified. Right in the midst of where you say, it ought to be that there ain't nobody left when they get done doing all this stuff, but you'll find out God will raise up something, and we'll come right back to the fact that we're even more fortified of things that were brought to us through that ministry, because we will go back and find them in the Word, and this Bible is going to say things to you that you ain't heard ever before. Taking what God has revealed to an end time ministry, going back to the Word with it, and from that, you're going to get rapturing faith. You go to that ministry by itself and don't take it back to the Word, you're not going to get anything but a bunch of heartaches. But if you'll take that and go, and we'll go back to the Word and show you that when that man stood there and said the things he did and took the stand that he had to about women preachers and about all these things, it wasn't, Brother Man was a man who loved people. It wasn't because he wanted to be a control freak or something like that. He loved people and he wanted them established on the gospel, but he had to stand for truth. He had to take those stands in the midst of all those people going away from him. He had to. And here we are now. We're the beneficiaries of that. And the ministry, the good, the true ministry in this movement has got to do the same thing, to stay right there back on the Word and say, I understand there's all this and all that, but we're taking it back to Scripture to show you that we're right in the hour where God wants to drop into you those loose ends, maybe in your experience that you didn't quite get tied up completely. He wants to tie those up now.
and really sent you down for this ride. That's what he wants to do. And I believe that's what he is doing. Will your flesh throw up a fit? You bet. You bet. Will you find it harder to overcome things in your life? Because Satan's, listen, it's a warfare. If Satan's bothered you with something and you've had a hard time being victorious in that, you can rest assured he's really going to crank up the heat now. But saints, I just want you to know that when you go to do something that God's going to be pleased with and you see the devil start fighting, don't get discouraged, but say, hey, I must be getting closer. Because Satan's starting to get nervous. He's really putting up the pressure now. See? That's what he's doing. He's really putting on the pressure. But if you analyze it with your intellect instead of revelation, and you just think about it and process it with your gray matter, you're going to wind up in a bad place. Because God is pushing the issue now. Get out of gray matter, get into revelation, and start being motivated by that. Because if we play around on that ground, remember that's what I said was an ice skating rink, and you're going out there and fight the devil, and he's got cleats on with spikes in it, and you got slick shoes, and he says, come over here and fight me. If you step over on that ground, you're lost. You're done with it. You better stay where you know you're fortified and don't get over on his ground. And that rink over there, that ice skating rink, is called intellectual conception, intellectual thinking, wise and prudence. All belongs over there, but over here is revelation. And I'm not saying that to tell you, you know, well, just get a revelation, you won't question things. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you we've got to have a revelation to get out of here. Because it is a revelation to the bride. And so, and I don't know if she's got it, but I'll bring it up here. I think I have it here. Maybe I don't. I have a little scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times. Some shall depart from the faith. Did you know the only place you can have true unity is in the faith? True unity only comes from the unity of the faith. Right? Because everything outside of Christ is devils, and they don't even get along. So true unity under God's program, that's where you'll find it. If you've got spirits bothering you that makes you not want to be in unity with brothers and sisters, it's not God.
Right?
We'll find that. We're going to bring that out. Well, depart from the faith. So if they depart from the faith, they're not going to have unity. What are they doing? They're giving heed to what? Seducing spirits and doctrine. If God's got a doctrine that's good for reproof and correction and all that, don't you know that Satan's got his doctrines?
Yeah.
Balaam had his, right? Those different things. Seducing spirits and doctrine of the devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Here's some of the things that those spirits would do. They'd forbid you to marry, command to abstain from meats, which God had created, receiving with thanksgiving them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing can be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Verse 6, he says, if thou, and this is instructions to Timothy, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou should be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of the faith, and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise with little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life now is, and that which is to come. And so, if thou put brethren in remembrance of these things, if we remind one another that these things are so, right? If we do that, see, there's great blessings. But now, the Spirit spoke expressly that in the latter times, this is what would happen. Men would depart from the faith. What would be happening? They'd be giving heed to seducing spirits. I'll leave that with you until next time. And we'll pick up. You pray that the Lord allow me to pick up where I need to. If I could just keep right on going throughout the rest of the afternoon and keep the momentum up in service. But you just pray that the Lord will allow that.
But you see, back to the Word to show you that those things are there. Did you realize, remember the story about the lantern? And if you don't take another step, you're not going to get another thing, and you won't, you know? So you get all the way down here, and you're not understanding this revelation here, this thing that God wants to tell you, unless you come back here and you understand this one first. Unless you understand this one before that one, and this one before that. And it's that way in any kind of school. You got to start out and work your way up. And so, if we miss things and we're not prayerful and we take something, we treat it like it's no big deal, we don't really have to have it, we take it or leave it. If there's other things that God wants to give you that's built on that, you'll never get those other things if you don't stay down to business with God. And I want to say it this way. Esau did not have respect for the birthright. God's given you a birthright to understand these things. To receive revelation on top of revelation. You want to hear it from the scriptures? Line upon line, precept upon precept, right? That's what it says. But if we find ourselves not given honor to what God pours out here, He certainly can't give you more because you haven't here. See? And that's what we want to do. I want to encourage you to be ever so diligent. More diligent now than ever before to get into the Word. Try to see what it is the Lord wants us to hear. Still, the Spirit still speaking and saying, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith, because the Spirit is still speaking to the church, right? Amen. Let's bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning. Lord, we pray that you would just take and do what we have just said, Lord, that you would just allow us to come into the full, rounded revelation, Lord, that we wouldn't let anything slip anywhere along the way. Lord, I believe with all my heart that you're bringing great things to your people now that will give them an edge and an advantage, Lord, in their life, that they would be victorious over things that perhaps they've not been victorious over in all this time. Lord, I know between now and the time of rapture, there's things that has to happen in our experience. There's places we have to come to. There's testings and trials that must come. And Lord, I pray that through these things that you put on our heart and ministering to your people, Lord, it will fortify him. Lord, help them to see that they need it. Help them to see they need to understand why it is that you've requested these things, because it's for their good and their protection. Lord, help me too. Help me fight a good fight of faith. I want to be victorious in my life each day, Lord, because I know it will reflect here in the ministry of the Word. I pray that you would help us, Lord. Let your grace be more than sufficient on each one of us, Lord, to keep our minds stay upon your truth and your word, that we can be kept in perfect hands. Lord, we commit this time to your hands, asking in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord, brothers. Him, you have a song for us.
wants to plant seed. The preacher wants to preach the gospel that's on his heart. But Daniel shaking his head. And they can be give everything that's on his fork and feel so empty, but I don't. I normally do, but I don't, because I know there's a lot more to come. But I want to thank you for sitting and listening to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's just as real today as it ever was, ever will be. It's got just as much power in it to set us free. But the one thing is that we're in an hour now where it all lays within us is what we're going to do with that word. God will give us what we need. He'll make sure that it's there for us to understand. He'll reveal it. But he's got it where we have to just, you know, what are we going to do with it? And I trust that shortly, as we go through this, that you'll gain victory in your life over things. And do me a favor. Let me know. Do me another favor. If there's something you don't understand, call me. Text me. My wife and I, as a sister, we'll get together. We'll talk with you. Because I want you to be totally convinced the stand that you're standing, that it's absolutely word, and that there's no shade, no question about it. I want you to come to that ground because that's the ground we have to be on. And I can't do that, but I'll tell you what, I believe God, through the gift he's given me to minister to you and the ministry of this church to minister to you, that if you'll have the right attitude and the right desire in your heart, he said you will be filled, right? That he'll use that ministry to minister that word to you, and the Holy Spirit will quicken that to you. And once that revelation takes place in your heart, you'll never shake again on it. Nobody will, regardless of what the flood does, whatever the world does, whatever people have left a message to, you'll be founded on the word. And the word is the very thing that we live by. So God bless you. I trust that you've been able to receive something today. And we'll see you this back to the house of God next Sunday. Some of you maybe can make it Wednesday night. We just do a church age book study, and it's been good. All right, it's been good. So God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.